Seated this morning, good singing.
Hanging there on a tree, on dark Calvary, there's a man hanging by my side. Bonds of love have him bound as his blood falls to the ground. From the stripes, the crown of thorns that he wore. Not long ago, my voice was heard, mingled with those scorning words as I mocked his holy name. Then in some amazing way, grace then gave the strength to say, when thou comest into thy kingdom, O Lord, remember me. The King of all eternity then turned and looked at me, and I thought, how foolish can I be? Lord, I could never work for thee, for I'm nailed to this old tree. And my past is filled with misery and woe. I can't believe these words I hear falling now upon my ear. A display of grace so full and free. Floods of joy now fill my eyes as I hear, to my surprise, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Tell me, what did he ever see in me? My yesterdays are in shambles, the grave my destiny. This my song through endless ages and through all eternity. Tell me, what did he ever? Tell me, what did he ever? Tell me, what did he ever see in me?
Thankful for your salvation this morning. Amen. Amen. If you would take your Bibles with me, and we're going to turn to 1 John together. Go to the end of your Bibles, go back a few books, and you'll find 1 John and then chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. When you find your place there, if you would please, if you're able to, if you'll stand with me as we read God's Word this morning. 1 John chapter 4, and then we'll look down in verse 7. I'll read aloud as you follow along there in your copy of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says this: Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look down with me at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Our Father, we're grateful this morning for your love, for another day of life that you've given to us, an opportunity again to be in your house to hear from your word. I ask as we meet together as believers that you would speak to us. Lord, if there's any here that don't know you as their personal Savior, may today be the day of their salvation. Lord, work in their hearts even now. Help us to become more like you. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Fill him with your might. Use him in a powerful way. We'll give you the glory for whatever you do. We love you, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. The book of 1 John. If you can't guess already, you weren't paying attention in the verses there. The subject this morning is about this word of love. I believe over 15 times in just a few verses that we read, and we didn't read all through this chapter about the subject of love. If you think about it, this month of February, as Pastor Johnson mentioned, we're about 12 days away from some event that your wife might want you to remember called Valentine's Day. You get a chance to make up for your mistakes for the last couple of months or to earn some brownie points. I don't know what the brownie points are good for, but if you're earning them, save them for some time in the future. That might be good for you. This word of love, this month really centers around this word of love. But the love that this world talks about is not the love of the Bible. You ever notice that? The love that the world talks about is a selfish love. It's a self-centered love. The love that the world talks about today is a sensual love. It has nothing to do with love. It's an infatuation. It's a fleshly desire. It's a selfishness, really, but that's not the love that we see in the Word of God today. As you look at the verses here in verse number seven, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Read the next five words together with me. Ready? Begin. "For God is of love." 1 John 4:7. Did you see it there? It says, For love is of God. In verse number eight, it says this, and it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Not just that God loves, not that God chooses to love, but God is love. The definition of God is to love. We see this number of times throughout these verses. In verse number 16, it says that same phrase again, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love." Again, as we look at what the world tells you and what the Bible says, you see something that is different about this world of love. There's a couple definitions of love you see in the Bible, and one is philia, and its definition is a friendship, a love, a brotherly love, more of an affection that you'd have one for another. But the word here is an agape love. An agape love. It is a selfless and an unconditional love that truly, that God embodies what love is. That God is love. This word agape love that you find here in this passage here is found over 200 times in the Word of God. God's love is not a part of His character. God doesn't just choose to love, but that God is love. He doesn't just choose it. He doesn't pick it up and set it down sometimes. You ever feel sometimes that you don't feel like loving somebody? You ever been there? Maybe you're sitting next to them. I don't know. And sometimes you feel that. See, many times again, our nature is that we have love as more of a feeling. And we talk about how we love a certain kind of a food, maybe, or a certain season of the year, or you love a person. Many times the love that we have is that brotherly love, that affection, that feeling that I feel like loving something or someone, and then we don't. And we kind of pick it up and put it down. But the Bible says that God is love. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We find an incredible chapter here about the definition of love and really who God is. 1 Corinthians 13, we'll read a number of verses through this chapter. Just a few books back in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, and this word of love here is the word of charity. And in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, and in these first few verses, it talks about what love is and what it is not, right? It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You can have all the right words to say, but without love, it's a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You ever have a child in your house that's learning how to play an instrument? Learning how to play a trumpet, maybe? And when they first learn how to play that, it sounds beautiful, doesn't it? It just screeches. If you're learning a piano, you get a keyboard where you can plug in the headphones and all you hear is the clicking. You don't hear the rest of the stuff on there. But the Bible says, if we have all the speech of this world but have not love, have not charity, we're become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You can have all the knowledge, all the faith, all the understanding, but without love, the Bible says, I am nothing. I am nothing. In verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You can give all your goods away, all the money you have to all the organizations that you can, but without charity, it profiteth me, the Bible says, nothing. But in verse number 4, it starts defining what charity, what love is. Charity, look at this, it suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Look at this, and it circles back to the beginning of this chapter, and it says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Look at the end of the verse, the chapter there, verse number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what, church? Charity. The greatest is what? Charity. To have love. I'd like to take this month and to take some time talking about what love is. And first of all, if we're going to learn what love is, we must learn of God's love for us. God's love for you. You ever sit and ponder and think about God's love for you? As Brother James sang about it today, as God looked at me, what did he ever see in me? The amazing, incredible love of God. God is the definition of love. And as you look at 1 Corinthians 13, that God embodies what love is. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you thankful that nothing can separate you from the love of God? Amen? That God's love is immeasurable. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Turn back to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. The Bible says here in 1 John 3 and verse number 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold, to consider, to perceive, to think about the love that God has bestowed upon us. To bestow is to present as a gift. That God has presented, that God has bestowed his love upon us, that God has given his love to us. We know that from John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, not because we asked for it, but God so loved the world. Before you became a child of God, God loved you. Before you were even born, God chose to love you. Whether you do right or wrong, God still chooses to love you. He bestows that love. He gives, he presents that love to you. Behold, think about the manner of love that God has bestowed upon you. To think about what love is to really consider God, because God is love. God is love. Not what the world says is love, but God is love. In 1 John 3:16, the Bible says here, as you look at that verse, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." To perceive is to be aware or conscious of. Just to think about it, to perceive and to understand the love of God. Look at this, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The Bible says in these couple of verses, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed, that He's given to us." But then to think about this, as we perceive, as we understand, or we are aware or are conscious of the love of God. I don't think you and I, Christian believers here today, can truly perceive and understand how much God loves you. To imagine, to consider how much God loves you. You know why? Because we think about our love for other people. And you may think how much you love someone else, but our love is based on feelings. Our love is a choice. Love, it shouldn't be based on feelings, but that's how our love is. And you may say, "I love chocolate," right? And men, if you want to get your wife something for Valentine's Day, women, is chocolate ever a bad idea? Oh, there you go. Go for it. And chocolate. We may show our love in different ways. You may say your love in different ways, but we cannot truly understand it because our love is fleshly. But God has a perfect love. God has a perfect love. We are sinners, and our love may come and go or may be based on feelings, but God is love. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." An everlasting love, a love that has no end, a love that has no limits. God said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Again, that's something that's hard to fathom. Can you fathom God having no beginning and no ending? Can you fathom eternity where there is no end of time? Can you imagine that? We're so much creatures of time where we have seconds and minutes and we have days and weeks, months and years, and everything we have revolves by time. But with God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And God's love is everlasting. It has no end. It has no limits. That's the love that God has for you and for me. Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Listen to this, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, the Bible says, which passeth knowledge. If you could measure the love of God, it goes beyond our understanding. You ever faced a problem that you just say, "I do not understand it. I cannot fathom it." I mentioned it a while ago. I thought I would understand my son's math longer than I do. I enjoy math. One of those weird people. I can't say I love it. I'm not that creepy. But I enjoy it, but I thought I would understand it more and better than I do, and I've got to the point, as most parents are, ask your teacher, ask Google, ask someone else, I don't know. There's certain things I cannot understand, certain things I cannot fathom, and the Bible says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. If you were to measure it, if you were to get out that measuring tape and you stretched it out as far as you could, you still could not fathom the knowledge, the love that God has for you. We couldn't measure it. I couldn't contain it, how much God loves me, how much God loves you. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." His great love. Again, if we were to look at all the words that God has used, that God has an everlasting love, that God has a great love that He has for you and for me. Are you starting to understand what God's love means to you and to me? See, too many times we take God's love for granted, don't we? We take for granted that God has given us life, that God has given us breath, that God has given us health, that God has given us a home and food and warmth and shelter and all that God has given to us. But then you think about the salvation that God has given to you. To understand that God in our sinful condition would look at you and me and say, I love you so much that I'll send my only begotten Son to die in your place, not because we deserved it, but because he said, I love you. See, love is not about earning the love. Love is bestowed. It is given. It's presented to you. God doesn't love you because you love him back. He loves you no matter what. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. God commendeth, he showed, he presented his love to us. If we're going to understand what love is, we must know God. To understand love, we must know the Word of God. The Bible says in John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than the love that Jesus Christ showed on the cross. Christian, I hope you never get tired of hearing the story of your salvation, of your redemption, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. The love, that greatest love that God would ever show, is the love that he showed on the cross for you and for me. Do you see that? See, but too many times we take it for granted, don't we? How easy it is to take for granted those that you love, right? How easy it is, many times it's been said that the ones that are closest to you are the ones we most take for granted, right? Your spouse, your children, those that you love and spend time with, it's easy to take them for granted that they'll always be there. They'll always take care of you and you take care of them. May we never take for granted the love of God, the love of God that God has for us. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Aren't you thankful that the love of God has touched your heart, that has come to your life, that God has brought you from darkness to light? That's by the love of God. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, it says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ, that God would direct your hearts to his love. Many times my heart is pulling away from God. My heart is wanting to turn to the things of this world, but you must direct your hearts into the love of God. Did you start today by saying, I love you, God? Thank you, God? Did you spend time, or did we just rush along our way and go through our day and forget to tell God, I love you? Could you imagine with your spouse if they never once said, I love you? If they never said it? Could you imagine if they never wrote a note to you and said, I want to let you know that I love you? If they never showed it to you anyway and never showed in any way that they loved you, you would only imagine that they didn't love you, wouldn't you? You would only imagine that there's something wrong and maybe their heart is given to someone else. But how many times do we come to God and tell God, I love you? How many times do we open up God's Word and we read God's Word? And as you read the Word of God, you cannot help but read how much God loves you and how much God loves me. And in our love, we turn our heart back to God and say, God, I love you with my life, and I want to show you how much I love you. God's love was seen at creation. Can you imagine as God stepped out on nothing and God spoke the world into existence? That's a showing of God's love. As God created man, you see, as God created man and formed him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul made in the image of God. That's a showing of God's love. All through the heavens, as you look up, the heavens declare the glory of God. You ever look up at the night sky and you see all the stars out there? You look out and you see the mountains stretch across the horizon, and you see the sun set, and you look out and think, that is God telling me, I love you. You ever think about that? You say, no one cares about me, no one loves me. That is not true, because God loves you. God's love was shown at the cross. God's love was shown at the empty tomb, and God's love will be shown again when Jesus Christ returns and when you see your Savior face to face. Can you imagine that day as you get to stand before the Lord in heaven and you think, I get to go into heaven. undeserving, unworthy, but you stand before God, I can only imagine falling down at Jesus' feet and saying, God, I love you. Getting to tell him that face to face. There's a song that we sing. It's called The Love of God. I'll read the song to you in a minute. I was looking this song up and thinking about it. This hymn, the history of this hymn, it spans nearly 1,000 years in multiple languages. Listen to this story. And we'll read you the song here in a little bit. The man that wrote the song is Frederick Lehmann. He was born in Germany but moved to America with his family when he was just 4 years old. He grew up in Iowa, and as an 11-year-old boy, he came to know the love of Christ and accepted Christ as his Savior. He became a preacher but also a businessman on the side, and through unfortunate circumstances, he lost everything in business and found himself working in manual labor in California, packing up houses. Despite the unfortunate circumstances, his faith never wavered in the Lord. Inspired by a recent sermon, he took every moment of downtime between packing oranges and lemons and began to write a love song to the Lord. After two stanzas and a chorus, he was at a loss for words, and you couldn't stop at two verses. You had to have three verses, so he was looking for a third stanza. As the story goes, he returned home and began composing the melody for the hymn on his old upright piano. Even so, he was without a third stanza. He remembered a poem he had recorded on a small card that was used as a bookmark. He pulled the card out and found the poem. It perfectly fit with his composition, and it fit to the words and the tune of what the song was that he was writing. The words were found that he found there. He didn't write the words to that third stanza. He wrote the first two stanzas, and as he read that, he read the story of the third stanza. The words were found written on a cell wall in a prison, it says, some 200 years ago. It was not known why the prisoner was incarcerated, neither was it known the words were original. If he had heard from somewhere else, they did not know where the words came. They just found the words written on the side of this prison cell. And when they went in there to the prison cell and they went to paint over what was there, they wrote down the words to this third stanza, which would become part of this song. The words here was believed to come from a Jewish rabbi living in Germany from possibly 1,000 years ago is what they had heard. And here's the song. The song is this. The first couple stanzas this man wrote, and the last one he was written on that wall cell. And it's the first verse is this. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. The chorus goes on to say, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. The second verse, when hoary time shall pass away, when earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. This third stanza, as you read the beautiful words to this song, it says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could this scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. As it goes back to that chorus, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. As you sit and fathom and think about the love of God today, how much we take God for granted today, don't we? How much we take for God for granted that God has given us life and breath and salvation and the Word of God and a family and a church and a home, and the list could go on, and we don't many times stop to say thank you. We don't many times take the time to go back to God and say, God, thank you. I love you. Many times we want to stretch our back against God and say, God, why would you make me instead of God? I get to live for you. to think about the love of God that God has shown to us, that God has bestowed and commended and given to us. As you go back to 1 John chapter number 4, look at this passage as we close this morning, thinking about God's love given for you and for me. The Bible says here in verse number 8, it says, "And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Looking down at verse number 16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Do you know God today? Maybe you don't even know Christ as your Savior. You don't even know the love of God. Would you trust in Christ today? Would you receive that free gift of salvation that God has offered on the cross of Calvary through that empty tomb? What a great love that God has for you and I, isn't it? Isn't it incredible? As you think, as you fathom, the Bible says if we could know and understand, perceive the love that God has for us, I don't think we'll truly understand and know it here. But someday as we see Him face to face, we'll know that love of God better. Thinking of God's love for you, what a wonderful thought. Maybe today you think, "I don't feel very loved." I can tell you this, God loves you. "I don't feel like anyone cares for me today." Guess what? God loves you. You may say, "I don't feel saved today." If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you know that God loves you and God is keeping you safe and secure, not by your works, but because of His gift of salvation. Know that God loves you. May we spend every breath of every day thinking about God's love for us. May we not forget it. May it not leave our minds. May we comprehend it, and may we show God the love that He has for us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of God, how much You love us. How much You have demonstrated Your love. How much You've written Your love in Your Word and given to us. How You've kept us safe. How You want to be with us. What an incredible love that You have for us. May we never take it for granted. May we never pass by it. May we return that love to You and say truly today, "God, I love You." May we mean it from our hearts. May we show it in our lives how much we love You in return. But Lord, someday to see You face to face and to know truly the love of God, to be able to comprehend that everlasting love that You've given to us. Maybe today you don't know Christ as your Savior. You would say, "Pastor, I don't know if I were to die today that I would be in heaven or hell. I just don't know. I've never trusted in Jesus Christ as my only way of salvation. But today I'd like to know that." Friend, I want to encourage you today. That would be the greatest decision you will ever make in your life, is to trust Christ as your Savior. We would be so excited, so happy. The Bible says when one sinner repents and comes to Christ, there's rejoicing and the presence of the angels in heaven. If you don't know you're saved today, would you slip your hand up so we could have a word of prayer with you?